great it is not only to see the Raymonds, who Matt was a great friend, especially in elementary school, but I also got to have dinner with my second mom growing up, and that's Mary June Wilkinson. And what a treat it was. Literally, I ate lunch 2 to 3 days a week at the Wilkinson's house, because at Corton School, you got to walk home for lunch. And the other 2 or 3 days of the week, Sarah, who was my grade, the youngest of the five, would eat at our house with my mom cooking. So what a treat. Would you bow your heads with me? God, take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm not sure about you, but my summer goal is to grow closer in my relationship with God. And I think you're off to a great start being here in this amazing community, in this amazing spot on the planet. And how many people have been coming here for 50 years? Whoa. How many people have been coming here for 60 years? Holy cow. How many people have been coming here less than 20? Yes. Wow. Well, I literally spent 2 weeks here in the 1970s. And it's so good to be back. And here's my problem with my goal, and I don't know if you find the same thing, is my goal is to grow closer to with God. The problem is I don't live it. And it's like I can't quite get it going. Daily quiet times with God, with Scripture, with loving others, with serving. And maybe you're there too. But if you and I are alert to our need for this, this summer could be the best year of our lives. The best summer of our lives. James, who was the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, said this, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." That sounds so simple. Why don't we come near? You know, I think it was Mark Lowry who nicknamed his bed. He called his bed the Word. That way, when his prayer partner called him in the mornings, Mark could say stuff like, "I'm in the Word, man, I'm in the Word. I spent 2 hours in the Word yesterday afternoon. I'm covered by the Word." Or one of that Lee and her friends used at this Bible college in Portland. She'd say this. We would tell each other, "Yeah, this morning on Sunday morning, I went to Bedside Baptist and heard Pastor Sheets talk about the Holy Comforter." Don't you wish that having a quiet time throughout the year or any day was as easy as getting a nap? Unless I plan carefully, that's what my quiet times tend to turn into. I like to think of it as worshiping God with my subconscious. And I didn't see anybody worshiping with their subconscious this morning, so thank you. That's different from Dexter, people. You know, it'd be funnier if it weren't so serious. If faith isn't just some wispy thing, but if faith is as important as our next breath, then you and I have to find our way to come near to God. Because I believe the greatest contribution that you and I can give to the world, to others, is a fully yielded heart. Don't you know that there is a love that only comes from a quiet daily walk with Christ? So what's the problem? Maybe you've never found your pathway to a close, vital walk with Christ. Just as we have different spiritual gifts, different personalities, different love languages, different experiences, we have different pathways by which each of us experiences close relationship in private worship with Christ. And there's a book called Sacred Pathways, and it's by Gary Thomas. And he identifies various pathways to give us access into the presence of Christ. And so I'd like to review just seven of them, to name them, with the idea that for each of us to say, is that maybe my pathway? So that you might worship with Christ more closely this summer as we're just starting everything out. The first pathway is the relational pathway. You know, some people find it difficult to flourish if they try to do it alone. For these folks, solitude feels more like solitary confinement. It's suffocating and it's frustrating. Bible studies feel fruitless, and service by yourself feels like death. But if you inject a strong dose of relationship and you watch what happens, amazing things do. Because they're in a group of people praying, they feel like they can pray like never before. When they study the Bible, when they share their life with half a dozen other Christ followers, they feel enriched almost every time. Serving feels like no burden at all when they get to be a part of a team, and worship is the same. Now, if this is you, then that means it is your job this summer to design spiritual time which involves a small group of other people. That's the relational pathway. The second pathway is the intellectual pathway. This person's mind must be fully engaged before any spiritual progress can occur. These folks look for substance, they look for data, and they keep intellectually stretching books on their shelves. They gravitate to events that challenge their thinking, and their hearts and their wills will never engage fully until their mind is completely convinced of something. When an intellectual pathway person becomes fully engaged, watch out. There is no stopping these folks. When Martin Luther came to clarity, speaking of Martin Luther, on the message of the gospel, that the just shall live by faith alone. When John Calvin grasped the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. When Chuck Colson fully comprehended the supremacy of a Christian worldview, nothing stopped these people. The Apostle Paul may have been wired this way. Just read Romans and see Paul at his best. At one point, Paul cries out in chapter 12, verse 2, "We're never going to change the world until we transform minds." Do you know anyone like this? Don't feel guilty about your intellectual proclivity. It's not anti-Christian, and it's especially not anti-faith. Keep filling your mind to keep from drying up. Jesus said, love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. So there's the relational pathway, and then there's the intellectual pathway. And then the third one is the serving pathway, and I think there's some servers here. For some reason, some folks can't feel close to God until they are quietly laboring in the kingdom vineyards. They aren't the thinker types necessarily. They're the doers. And they read their Bibles and they pray. They attend worship services. But if you were to ask them, when do you feel closest to God? When do you feel most centered or most joyful and alive in Christ? They won't answer in church or singing or in prayer. They'll probably say, when I'm serving on a roof, in a tech booth, helping in the nursery, that's when I know I am an instrument in the very hands of God, like workers in the vineyard that Jesus talked about. When I'm helping out somewhere, then I know I'm helping in the kingdom of God and I'm close to God. And here's the deal. These people are often the unsung heroes of the faith. If you are on the serving pathway, your serving may play a vital role in reaching people for Christ. And if this is you, then your job this summer is to put a plan together that centers on serving. I think it will lead you to the presence of God. The fourth pathway is the contemplative pathway. Now, these people feel like they can spend almost limitless time in solitude. Give them a Bible or a journal and they could disappear for days. For contemplatives, just being in the presence of God is enough. They can spend hours reflecting on the goodness of God. Often these people have enormous capacity for prayer and for meditation, and they often have a very sensitive spiritual antenna, and they can discern the activity of God wherever they are and whatever they're doing. These are the people that reflect on human suffering, and they reflect on the world, and they keep wondering why it happens and why so few people are moved by the condition of those who are suffering. Now, they're also usually the people who run out of gas in their car periodically, or the ones who don't change their oil often enough, because they're always thinking about other stuff. And they're often the folks who compose the songs that stir our hearts, or they write the books that help us think new thoughts about God. Contemplatives can often serve as the conscience of the faith community, and they call us back to caring about the poor. They help us focus on what kingdom life is all about, and they're crucial to the kingdom of God. So we've got the relational pathway, we've got the intellectual pathway, we've got the serving pathway, we have the contemplative pathway. And the fifth pathway is the polar opposite. This is the activistic pathway. And let me say one more word about the contemplatives. Any of you know contemplative types? Because if you do, take care. Don't tell them to get busy, but rather urge them to live how they need to live. Urge them to think the deep thoughts, because eventually something wonderful is going to come out of that reflection, and it will bless the whole church. And if this is you, then exhale. Just breathe that in and give yourself an extra measure of grace. That's the contemplative. And now the polar opposite, the activistic pathway. And unlike the contemplative, this person is at his or her best at a speed of Mach 2. White-knuckled, gasping for breath, these are the action folks. And because of their wiring, they revel in a challenge-intensive environment that chases them to the absolute edge of their potential. And when they're right on that edge, they feel very close to God. Do you know anybody like this? They're the activists. They catalyze others into action as well, in Detroit, in Ypsilanti, in Grand Rapids, in Lansing. And if you think God made a mistake when he wired some folks up this way, realize we wouldn't be here if it weren't for the likes of John Wesley, the founder of the whole Methodist Wesleyan movement. The guy was a maniac. He rode more miles on horseback than it is from here to the moon, preaching. George Whitefield, Dwight Moody, a host of other men and women who burst out of the starting blocks, igniting kingdom-building work. So that's number five, is the activistic pathway. Then number six are those who are on the creation pathway. And I realize I'm standing in front of an amazing scene. The naturalists are the sixth group of people. These are the green believers, or we could say the blue believers, the tree huggers. And you've known people who come alive when they get in nature's splendor. The mountains, the rivers, the lake, the desert, the ocean, a storm, a beautiful garden, or even looking at the stars. These people see the rocks and they think about God's unshakable foundation for their lives. They see the stars and they envision the vast omnipotence of God. They work in the dirt gardening and they think about God tending us through life and through struggles. Well, for these people to grow closer to God, and for you to grow closer to God, if this is you this summer, this is kind of a no-brainer. If you are on the creation natural path, you know where you feel closest to God, and that's somewhere in creation. And it shouldn't surprise us. God originally created man and woman in a garden. When Jesus rose from the dead, Mary thought Jesus was the gardener. She wasn't far off, if you think about it, because Christ was there in the Garden of Eden with them. If this is you on the nature pathway, then I invite you to take extra time. What if your plan for private worship of God doubled or tripled the amount of time that you spent in nature? The golf course only counts for half because you're a little distracted, but it counts. So that's the sixth one. So the relational pathway, the intellectual pathway, the contemplative pathway, the serving pathway, the nature pathway, the activistic pathway, and then finally the seventh is the worship pathway. And this is the path that some people connect to God most, is in worship, God honoring worship, whether it's traditional and liturgical, whether it's contemporary, whether it's classic hymns. For the worshiper feels closest to God in spirit-filled worship, some with rituals and written prayers, and some with the newest songs from Hillsong cranking on their radio as they're driving their car, praising God, making decisions, personally worshiping Christ that way. You know, David, King David, who was the father of Solomon that we talked about this morning, David may have very well been on the worship pathway. He may be the ultimate example. He's the one that said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." If this is you, you need to design a spiritual formation plan this summer that involves massive amounts of worship. You know, as Christ followers, we are called to grow in Him. We're called to grow in Christ in 2018. So I have some assignments for you. I don't know if you came prepared for assignments, but I've got some. The first one is this. Identify which spiritual pathway is yours. Now, resist the temptation to compare yours with someone else's. Resist the temptation to identify the pathway that you wish was yours. That's called pathway envy. And when you identify that pathway, lean into it. Try it. Fill your life with it and put your faith into action. What I'd like right now is if you are here, we'll take just literally 1 minute. If you can identify one or two of those pathways that might be yours, lean over to somebody or ask somebody near you and see if you can tell them which one is you think your main pathway. Ready, go.
I'm relational.
I want to be contemplative, but I'm really relational. Okay, 10 more seconds. Okie doke. So hopefully you've identified one of the pathways that you believe is probably yours of these spiritual pathways, and I'm inviting you to lean into it this summer. But then a third thing I want you to do is to develop an appreciation for all the different pathways to Christ and what they can offer you, and try on some of these other ways, these other pathways to Christ, and let them stretch you. And then to help one another identify which one might be your pathway. Imagine the difference that we could make in vital union with Jesus Christ. Imagine the fruit that we could bear. New creativity could flow. New power could be unleashed in your life and in the life of this community. If we were all regularly accessing the presence of God through the pathway that we were made for. Here's what I'd like to do to close. I'm going to ask each one of you, I'd like to pray for each one of your walks with Christ. And so if we went through these and you thought, yep, that one's mine, I'm going to invite you to stand and I'm going to offer a brief prayer to you. And I want you, everybody, to pray with your eyes open so you can see there may be somebody else who's on one of the same pathways as yours. Now, don't stand for all seven. Nobody's that well-rounded. Maybe Melody is. No, she's not. Her sister says. But if there's one or two, or if there's three that you just have to stand for, I invite you to do that. And we'll start with those on the relational pathway. They're brave when it comes to having to stand in front of people. If you're on the relational pathway and you think, yep, that one's me, would you stand to your feet right now? And just stay standing, and then when we finish the prayer, you can be seated. I'm going to call for each of the seven pathways, and I'd like to say a prayer for you. Let us pray. O God, Heavenly Father, the source of all love, Lord, please free these folks who are standing to love you even more deeply by entering into the richness of community that enlivens their hearts so. Lord, lead them to like-minded brothers and sisters with whom they can share this precious pathway into your presence. Lord God, surround them with loving brothers and sisters who can help them form Christ deeply in them. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Next, those of you on the intellectual pathway, would you please stand? Nothing to be ashamed of. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for keen minds. Lord God, thanks for insatiable mental appetites. Lord, and now I pray for these folks, Lord, that you would fill their minds with that is from you. Lord, I pray that you would fill their minds with that will draw them close to your side. O God, may their transformed minds produce powerful thoughts and actions in their lives for your sake. Amen. You may be seated. And those of you on the serving pathway, would you please stand? They're too tired to stand. They've been serving too much. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these who feel most close to you when they are an instrument in your hands. God, please lead these special folks to places of service that remind them regularly that you have made them essential instruments of yours. O Lord Jesus, surprise them with your presence and your joy as they diligently labor in the things that matter most. We pray in your name. Amen. And now, the contemplatives, would you please stand? There, we've got some in the back there. Oh God, Lord, throughout history, your church has always been blessed by those who dared to steal away and listen closely to your quiet whispers. God, give these sensitive folks the courage to carry on that rich kingdom tradition. Oh Lord, how our church needs the fruit of that which is gained in unrushed moments of deep, spirit-guided reflection. God, we pray that you would bless the contemplatives. Amen. And now the activists. Would you please stand? Any activists among us? Are you really not an activist?
Yeah.
Well, let us pray. God, thanks for tireless devotion of the activists among us. Lord, for their energy, for how they energize others, for their tenacity, for how they inspire that in others, for their love of the kingdom challenge. God, I pray that you would meet these folks in the middle of their many challenges and reward them by reminding them in the midst of the challenge that their work is not in vain and that you are God over all. Amen. And I'm sure there's double the amount because of where we are right now. If you're on the creation pathway, would you please stand? Creator God, Lord, I pray that you would free these folks to avail themselves fully to the beauty of your creation. Lord, give them the determination to arrange their lives for long moments by lakes and streams, hills and valleys, woods and gardens. And Lord, I pray that you would disclose yourself to them in a special way in the power of your transforming love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, anyone here on the worship pathway, would you stand? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that you would please remove any embarrassment to those who lift their hands, lift their voices, lift their hearts to the sound of your melodies, to those who are moved by liturgy. And Lord, I pray that you would fill their hearts to overflowing as they pour their hearts out to you in worship. And then move them to the kinds of actions that will produce more worshipers all throughout this world. Amen. And then just a closing prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to be men and women after your own heart. Lord, we want to be people who walk with you closely. It is no accident that you have brought us here this evening, that you have placed us in this community for such a time as this. Lord, we want to be people who not only walk with you closely, but who listen to you intently and who follow you boldly. We want to worship you personally. We want to abide in you and to enjoy your presence from here to eternity. And Lord, we want to take as many people with us as we can. Help us toward that end. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as you go from here, it is my prayer you will walk not just toward Jesus, but with him each day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.